Good morning, everyone. This is Mark Layton in New York, bringing you Mentoring for Your Mind here along with Jim Gilhouse today. I think our buddy Troy Dooley will be back in the saddle tomorrow, but for today, I'm really excited. I'll tell you what, it's raining up here in New York, Jim, but it couldn't be a more perfect day. And as I was going through Maxwell's chapter on failing forward, the most recent chapter, which is failure is an inside job, I was thinking about success, which is the converse of failure. And you know, Jim, they say that repetition is the mother of success, because through repetition you're learning. Now, when you watch athletes, what they're doing by repetition and practice is muscle memory. And my daughter was a figure skater for quite a number of years, and when a figure skater goes out and does a typical performance that you may see on TV, it's about 3 minutes long, and there's about 1,000 hours of preparation that goes into that little 3-minute routine. And Jim, throughout those 1,000 hours of preparation or more, or, you know, ballpark figure, skater is going to fall a number of times. If their pads, they're going to miss their connections. They're just not going to get it right. But they don't give up. They keep going, probably because the goal is so strong, and also they have a coach who's there to continually correct them. And that's why mentoring in our profession is so important, to keep that person focused and moving forward and develop the success mindset.
Well, good morning, Mark, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind, where we conduct mentoring for your mind.
Okay, well, Troy calls it both things. He slips in and out, so
forgive me. I know. I've been giving him a hard time for that for the longest time. You know, the bad part about that is it can create some confusion on the part of the people who are listening in. Am I in the right place? Am I on the right radio station? So yeah, I always rib him about it too. So don't feel bad.
I will take that. Mea culpa. I am forever corrected.
Well, you know, one of the most important things that you just said is having a coach that's there, because it's so easy for all of us to quit at anything when we're doing it by ourselves. But it's a heck of a lot harder when there's somebody else there who we've given permission to hound us, to nag us, to just continue to push us every step of the way. And, you know, I think that no matter how successful a person is, we all need a coach. And you look at Tiger Woods, even one of the greatest golfers of all times has his own personal coach that he goes to, he works with, he practices with, and this person is constantly making little minor adjustments with things that he sees that can be improved upon. And the key, anytime we're working with a coach, is not to take something personal that's meant as constructive criticism. That's one of the hardest things for a lot of people to do, because people get criticized about things in so many different areas of their life all the time, that they don't want to be criticized. One of the main reasons people enter our business, in the network marketing business, is so they can fire their boss. They can become the masters of their own time. They can, you know, they can have that long sought after time freedom and financial freedom that everybody dreams of. The last thing in the world that people want to do as a result of that is answer to someone else. But yet, we all have to some degree. You know, I consider myself to be very blessed from the standpoint that the person I answer to more often than not, and I know this is going to come as no surprise to you, Mark, because you have, you know, a person very similar to this in your life, and that's my lovely bride, who is the only the only boss that really keeps me on track here on Earth. And then the power that we all answer to ultimately, being, you know, the good Lord himself. But without the coach, I remember reading one time a very powerful statement, and it was nothing more than find a mentor, be a mentor, improve the world one person at a time. Folks, that sums it up right there. It doesn't get any more profound or more powerful than that. Find a mentor, be a mentor, and help change the world one person at a time. And the person we always start with is the reflection in the mirror staring back at us.
Absolutely, Jim. That is just perfect. And you know what I'd like our listeners to do today is, as they learn to let go of failure, Maxwell says in this chapter, don't let the failure from the outside get inside of you, but at the same token, let the success from outside get inside of you, and that's the power of the coach and the mentor, someone who has helped somebody become successful before, has that track record. You know, while you want to shut failure out, you want to let success invade and permeate every part of your being. And it's an attitude. And very early on in this profession, I had an upline in a company that is, you know, I'm long since not a part of, and he's left this earth. But I was a 20-something real chatterbox and built a decent-sized downline, totally as ignorance on fire. And he noticed something in me because I would never shut up. He took me outside after a business presentation. I was 6 inches taller than him, grabbed me by the shoulders, which, you know, took a little guts on his part, shook me and said, now pay attention. You have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You got that? I said, yes. And he turned on his heels, and that was probably the best single piece of advice that I ever got, you know, in this profession, because it leads to so many other things where people won't care what you know until they know that you care. And how do they know that you care? Because you're listening to them. There's a lot of times I'm on the phone, Jim, and people will say, Mark, are you still there? And I said, yeah, I'm just listening to you, because they're so accustomed to and ready to be interrupted that they can't believe somebody's actually listening to them. And that's what builds the bonds, the rapport, the relationships, the success we can build on.
You're absolutely right, Mark. And, you know, it's amazing. Stephen Covey talks about it in all of his works, how 90%+ of the population of the world listen with the intent to respond as opposed to listening with the intent to understand. And if we focus on that one thing, listening with the intent to understand, listening with the intent to get insight into who this person is that we're talking to, we can dramatically change the success rate of every conversation that we have, no matter what that conversation is about, because you hit the nail right on the head with one thing that you said right there. When you're listening to another person, that person perceives that you're placing them in a position of value, that what they have to say is important to you, because you're not interrupting them. You're not trying to enforce your will upon them before they've had a chance to say their piece. That's an amazing thing if people can master it, because it elevates you in the eyes of the listener to a position of understanding, like they're not used to relating to.
Yep, and you know, even in these days of the internet, and I will call a lot of internet-generated leads from time to time. I do a lot of work locally, Jim, so I will look for a local networking event, and I'll go there, and they'll say there's going to be 500 people there, and you know what? I don't care how many people are there. If it's 2 hours long and I meet two people and have a quality conversation, That's really all I'm looking to do. And I'll stand there, and I will engage them, and I don't look over their shoulder to see who else is coming in the room. I don't look at the watch. And you will be surprised how many times in that, you know, 15 or 20-minute conversation, typically, an individual will come over and step right in between us and hand out two business cards and say, if you're ever looking for yada, 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 give me a call. And I go, thanks. And I say to myself, rank amateur, put the card in my right-hand pocket, because my right-hand pocket is where all the cards for discard go, and the left-hand pocket is the ones I want to keep. So I've got my little success system, because anybody who's going to interrupt a conversation just to make an uninvited commercial is not a networker.
You know, Mark, that's a valuable thing that you just mentioned right there, and I don't know if our listeners really picked up on what you just said right there, because the true power of our profession is in the sorting. It's not in the selling or telling. And we get to pick. This is one of the neatest things about our profession that I really love. We get to pick who we invite to join our team. And do you really want to pick people and invite people to be a part of your team that you can't see yourself becoming long-term friends with and wanting to travel with and go places and do things with? But yet, people who are new to the industry always, always send out signals of desperation by inviting literally everyone into their business. And, you know, some people are going to think, well, Jim, you tell us not to prejudge. This isn't about prejudging. This is about making a decision as to whether this is a person that you want to work with and invest your most precious asset in. And, folks, our most precious asset is our time. And what Mark was just talking about right there is sorting through people, not prejudging them. It's merely a matter of sorting the good from the bad and the ugly. Now, I mean, one of the reasons we do radio is because, you know, I fall into the latter of those three categories. You know, I got a face for radio. Yeah, you know, that was a joke, you guys.
I'm laughing.
at least it was, you know, my attempt at being humor.
Well, self-deprecating humor is the best kind. People love to laugh, and they love it not to be the object of ridicule. So anytime you can make a joke about yourself, people appreciate you, Jim.
Well, and by the way, you know, I know I started this call off this morning by making a correction on you, and I wanted to let you know that how much I, Troy, John, all of us, appreciate the fact that you're stepping forward and taking the controls this week, because that's a testament to who you are, Mark, and I want you to know that we truly do appreciate you for being a part of what we're doing here and helping to create this movement of educating people's minds with radio for your mind.
But let me ask you a question, Jim. See, when you gave me that correction there, what did I do? I said, mea culpa. I stand corrected. Won't happen again. You know, because valid, you know, anything that makes you better makes you better. And, you know, and I know we venture from the chapter a little bit, but, you know, it's all about cultivating the right attitude and hanging around with the right people, the positive people. And when you said, a little while ago that, you know, you have to think about who you're going to invite, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with them, and you don't just want to invite somebody who can fog a mirror. You know, you and I have both been around this profession for quite a while, and I don't know about you, but when someone who I know has also been in the industry for a while and has had, you know, a good measure of success calls me up to prospect me, regardless of what I'm doing. And we talked about the other side. Why don't they want to find out that, you know, what I'm doing so they can jump in? That was something that we talked about last week. But just them calling me I take that very positively as a sign of respect. It's the ones that I know that are in business and have never called me that I won't call, you know. It's just, well, maybe I should call them, but I just enjoy the fact that someone says, you know, Mark would be a good person to have in my business, whether I join them or not. And chances are I'm not, because how many things can I do at once?
It is very difficult to dance to more than one drum at a time. However, when you know, when things can complement each other and they can work in synergy together, you know, I'm a big proponent of being a customer of our industry. And if you know people that have a service, product, or opportunity that you can benefit from by being a customer of their business and help them out a little bit, by all means, go for it. Do it. Because you would hopefully you would want the same from them out of a sense of loyalty, especially if this person is a friend. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go try and build that business at the same time, because the truth is, if we're looking to recruit prospects into our business, which is a word-of-mouth business to buy, how many word-of-mouth businesses can they sell at any one time with their opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Because the more things that we try and add to our repertoire, the more convoluted our recommendation can become.
Exactly. But on the other hand, I am a preferred customer with two or three friends of mine whose products I value, and I said, listen, if I can help you out, I'm gonna try out your product, and most of them I continue to use for years because I believe in this industry, and you know, in theory and in fact, everything is network marketing. It's just that this is where we officially get paid for it. You know, when you bring in an automobile to be repaired, the repair shop calls their network of suppliers to get the parts they need to fix your car. And if one guy doesn't have it, the other one has it. And, you know, it starts with the, you know, manufacturer who makes a profit, who sells it to the wholesaler, who sells it to the retailer, and who pays the highest price at the end? We do as the consumers. But when we're in our profession in network marketing, everybody gets paid a little piece of everybody's effort all along the way. So it's still, you know, it's still a system of referrals, but we get paid here instead of just paying the price at the end.
You know, I love that analogy, and for years I've used the analogy with people. In life, there are two kinds of people. There are those of us that enjoy the luxury of receiving a paycheck for the value of our opinion and sharing that opinion with others. And then there's everyone else who's naturally doing the same thing for free. Those of us that enjoy the luxury of being paid for opinion are called network marketers. And everybody else is called everybody else.
Yeah.
Just, you know, everybody else.
Uh-huh.
And the, you know, it's a shame that more people don't place a higher value on their own personal opinion about things, because that's really what it boils down to. If you value your own opinion enough to share it with others, then why shouldn't you be compensated for that?
100%. And is John on the call with us this morning?
I believe he is.
I'm right here. How are you, gentlemen?
Good morning, Mr. Hansis. And as we hate to call you the junior member of the team, but the most recent addition to our industry, when you speak to people about this, is that the same tact that you use?
Well, first of all, I really despise being called a junior member. As a matter of fact, I think we'll go ahead and hang up right now.
Okay.
So it was a pleasure to see you guys.
Well, we'll say. I quickly changed it to the most recent addition to the team. I'm getting used to this thing called radio.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I think the biggest key, and Jim has been telling me this the whole time, at first it was real blunt because everybody goes through these times of desperation because you're trying to build a downline. You know, you're trying to build a business. You're trying to build people, show your product an opportunity. But the problem is like I noticed with myself, like when you kind of zip in real quick and you're just being that really, really either cold or desperate guy who's approaching anything, or female for that matter if you're in the business, it doesn't seem to go anywhere. But when you get to a point where you're inside your own skin and you feel comfortable and you just go approach people with who you are and what you're about, that's what really ends up working. I mean, I know how you were talking about before how people would cut and interject conversations, you know. You got to be, first and foremost, it is a business. Jim talks about it all the time. Everybody talks about it all the time. If you treat it like a business, it's going to pay you like a business. Well, if something's creating your bread and butter, why don't you treat it the way you want to be treated? And therefore, when you approach and talk to people, you make them feel comfortable around you. They're going to be more apt to listen to what you have to offer. So when you're just straight into the point, and you're rude and you're blunt and you're, you know, pain in the butt. I'm pretty sure some people out there like that. I don't know why, but they do. But the key is for me is just, man, stick to who you are. Just be who you are. You know, me, I'm usually pretty happy, cheery-go-lucky most of the time. You know, I do have my bad days just like anybody else. But that's what you do. You approach it with, you know, the enthusiasm that you had it when you first signed up. If everybody would sit there and reach back into that bag of tricks and pull that out every single time that you talk to somebody with a little bit of common courtesy, a little bit of business ethic, there's no way you can't succeed in this business. So I don't know what else to say except for just be who you are.
You know, you said a mouthful there, and it's all correct. You know, I've had people listen to me do a presentation, and they say to me, Mark, that was great. I could never do it the way you do. And I said, I don't want you to do it the way I do. I want you to do it the way you do. Because if, guys, if you saw a symphony orchestra and you took it apart, the tubas are going to sound different from the clarinets, from the cellos, from the violins. They all play in the same piece, beautiful music. Put it together, it sounds different, but they each have their own distinctive voice. And if you come into this business and you change who you are, people are going to scratch their head. Yeah, you have to develop a new skill set, but you have to be who you are at the root of all of this.
You know, Mark, that's a great piece of advice you just gave right there. However, I want to add one caveat to that. And this, I'm going to use myself as the scapegoat on this because, you know, early on in the industry, I came into the industry, had my hair on fire. I went to a meeting, and I watched a gentleman who was making six figures up on stage, and I said, I can do that. I can do that, you know, inside of, you know, less than 30 days. And I went out, and I did just that. And very quickly, I kept hearing people say, wow, Jim, great presentation. Wow, Jim, I couldn't see myself being like you. Wow, Jim, you know, do I have to learn all of that? You know, wow, you know, that was awesome, but I don't have time for this. And what they're really saying, and it took me a while to realize this, it wasn't until one of my mentors grabbed me and said, wake up. This isn't about you looking good in front of the room. This is about being able to communicate a very simple concept to the people who are sitting in the audience. The four most powerful words that are going to go through their mind when they're sitting in the audience, and you have to be able to convey this, is I can do this. And if it's all about the glitz and glamour and, you know, wanting to shine from the stage, we're going to hear all of the objections under the sun, because when a person says they don't have the time, what they're really saying is they don't have the time to devote to being as polished and as good as what you were. When they say, you know, I don't know enough people, they're saying the same thing. They don't have the time to learn to do a presentation at the level that you do. And when I got into when I finally realized that wow was a bad thing for me to hear, it opened my eyes in a major way, because that's when I really started poking more fun at myself and talking about the fact that, you know, if I can do this, anybody can, because after all, the six hardest years of my life were the third grade. Yeah.
I'm not surprised at that, just to be honest, throwing that out there.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's because you guys know me, you know. But, you know, all it goes to show is that with a little practice, we can all do something if we put our mind to it. But what the most important thing that we can do in the entire process is to do the presentation. It's all about action being the silver bullet. Yesterday on the show, I mentioned a quote from Will Rogers, and I'm going to mention it again today. The quote is this: even if you're on the right track, if you're sitting still, you're going to get run over. You know, we hear people all the time talk about the power of timing in our industry. And timing doesn't guarantee us anything in this industry if we don't take action. All it guarantees us is that we've got a great sequence number as far as our ID numbers go with the company. But people can come on months, years after we join the company, and if they go to work and we didn't, they're going to be successful when we weren't. So
yeah.
What Mark was saying earlier, folks, I got to echo this 100-fold. Just talk to people. Just make the presentation. Just tell your story. And that's the most important part of that whole process. Tell your story with enthusiasm. Because enthusiasm can be the spark that lights the fire in others, even when your knowledge of the company, product, service, or opportunity is still in the growing phase and you don't necessarily understand everything there is to know. You don't know all of the scientific data about the product or the service. You know, you don't know the comp plan inside out, upside down, and sideways. Who cares? If you tell your story and why you're doing this with enthusiasm, you're going to be amazed at the results that you're going to get. And that's it for me. I'm done with my rant this morning.
That was good stuff. But go into action, Jim, because you guys will relate to this. It doesn't matter how long you have your pilot's license. It's how much flight time you have logged. But along the lines of enthusiasm, someone who was a very learned person at prospecting once said to me, and it's true, mirror the person you're speaking to. So no matter how authentic you are and how much you come from the heart, if they are a slower speaker, don't speak rapid fire. Mirror them, because that's where they're comfortable.
That's an excellent observation, Mark. You're absolutely correct.
Well, we've got 1 minute left to go, so John, would you like to close us out with some inspirational thoughts for today?
Yeah, just everybody sit there, and what I do every day is I like to sit there and find out what makes me drive myself every single day to succeed in life. Remember your why. Why is going to make you cry, and it's going to make you laugh, and it's going to make you do a bunch of other things that successful people are willing to do and the unsuccessful people are not. Anyway, on this great Wednesday morning, everybody have a great, God-filled, beautiful day, and we'll catch you tomorrow right here for Radio for Your Mind.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, John. Everybody have a great day. Go inspire someone else.
I love you guys. I just wanted to say that.
Well, we love working with you.
That's it.
That is it. What could surpass that? So, you know, go tell your story to somebody today, and if you do that enough times in the month, you will be surprised where your business is a year from today. Thanks from Radio for Your Mind, and we will see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Bye.